Wouldn't it be nice if there was a guidebook to how our bodies work so that we can start at the very beginning learning how to take care of them properly? Well, there are some general rules to the road, and in this episode, we're going to take a look at just what those are and what you can do about them. Hi. I'm Adrienne Irizarry. I'm an Eastern medicine practitioner who is passionate about women's health and helping women live their best lives. My goal is to put you in the driver's seat of your menstrual health, offering period solutions for a symptom-free life. Statements made in this program are for educational purposes only and not intended as a substitution for medical consultation or advice. We do not claim to diagnose, treat, or cure any diseases. This podcast is inclusive and welcomes all gender identities. The focus of the program is on biological function, and we will use the term women throughout, but it is referencing physiological and social challenges for biology, not identity. Come as you are, I am happy you're here and welcome all performances of identity. I hope you find something helpful in this show. Welcome back to another episode of the Reproductive Rebel podcast. So we have been taking a look at the general rules of the road. So if you missed last week's episode, I would highly recommend checking out episode 13 and hearing what the first and honestly most important rule of the road is, which is to keep the body warm. This week, we're going to take a look at the second most important rule of the road, which actually doesn't have to do with the organs that are responsible for your monthly bleed. It's your digestion. For many people, our digestion is a massive problem. Some of it has to do with our diet and lifestyle. Stress is a huge culprit. We eat on the run. We work while we eat. These types of behaviors are not really supportive or conducive to healthy digestion. But when it comes to our bleeding days, our digestion actually needs a lot more help. So this goes back to one of the tenets that I had said in the last episode, which is why I recommend checking out that episode if you haven't already, is that the more ways you can make it easier for your body to do day-to-day things, the easier your period will flow. No pun intended. So your digestion and the challenges that we typically have with digestion actually are no exception to how you can make your period a little less symptomatic. So there are a couple aspects to this. One is warmth. Remember I said last episode, we talked about warmth, and that's probably one of the biggest rules of the road. Well, warm foods are no exception to that either. The other aspect is having these foods be easy to digest. So think about when you've had a stomach bug, okay, and you're starting to feel your appetite returning, and you're laying there going, I feel like I need to eat something. I'm actually happy and encouraged by the fact that I feel a little bit hungry, but what do I eat? And for the vast majority of us, the first thing that comes to mind is not a big steak. It's something that is found in what they call the brat diet, something easy to digest. This is something brothy, like a soup. Chicken and rice soup used to be one of my mom's favorites to give to us after we had had a stomach bug. And I really started to understand the wisdom behind that as I got older. Rice is easy to digest after your stomach has been taxed. The broth, the bone broth in the base, gives you all kinds of minerals and nutrients and is not super hard for your body to digest. There is some wisdom to this idea that easy to digest foods are not only good when your stomach is brittle after having something like a stomach bug, or even in the postpartum. That's another place that maybe I should take a couple of minutes and highlight is the same things that work in postpartum work during your bleed. So warm, easy to digest foods, because your body is coming back from literally putting all of its resources out to build a little human. And your organs are coming back into position, right? They've been displaced. You've had a little person kicking your bladder and jamming their feet into your ribs for months now. So as your organs start coming back into position, making sure that you're not putting super heavy or cold things into your stomach makes it easier for your body to process the food, be able to utilize all of the tools that it's giving you, and assimilate all of those tools into the healing process. The same is true during your period. If foods are easy to digest, so think soups and stews, things that like soups that have dark leafy greens in it, or sweet potato, or other kinds of items that are going to be soft and easy to digest, you're setting yourself up for success, because the body can break down and make ultimate use of the foods that you are putting into your stomach. The more it can make use of those tools, the better it's able to serve the rest of your body. So we're coming back to this: how can we make the optimal functioning of our body happen with more ease? And a lot of that has to do with how we eat our foods. So raw and cold are very hard for our body to digest. And as I say this, there are going to be people that are listening to this that are going to recoil, and they're going to want to fiercely fight me about the benefits of a raw diet. I've had those clients, so your case is not unfamiliar to me. But what I'm saying is that when our body is busy doing its monthly bleed, the more ways we can conserve energy and support the fact that our body's primary job at that time is the shedding of the endometrial lining and this bleeding process that's taking place, the stronger we are going to emerge on the other end. Some people talk about the fact that they feel fatigued for days, or even after their bleed is over and they're not seeing any blood anymore, they're still experiencing cramping after their period is done. It means the body doesn't have enough tools, and it worked really hard, but it still doesn't feel like it fully executed what it needed to, because it didn't have enough of the things it needed. So this is where you can help a body out. And if you eat soups and stews, steamed vegetables, at bare minimum, steam your food, please, because it helps the body to break it down. When you cook your food, you are adding chi or vital energy to the food that you're eating. And different cooking methods add different levels of chi to your food. So when you're cooking over an open flame, okay, so this could be like on a gas stove. This could be in like a burner type situation. This could be on a grill. Grilling is amazing. It puts the most chi into your food. Baking is great. It puts a lot of chi into your food. Cooking on the cooktop is great. It puts a lot of chi into your food. So I get a lot of questions around slow cookers and instant pots. And believe me, both of these devices literally saved my life. I use them on a regular basis. However, I use them strategically. So if you follow me on my Instagram page, Moon Essence Me, I tend to throw out these little nuggets of TCM nutritional wisdom, because I think that if we learn how to make this necessity of eating work for us instead of against us, again, it's another simple, easy way to help support your body without a lot of extra effort, because we've got to eat anyway, right? So I tend to use my cooking devices, things like instant pots and slow cookers, for certain types of foods. For example, my slow cooker is my soup and chili device, because slow cookers tend to have more moisture in the outcome of what you're cooking. They tend to make food more damp. And soup is already damp. So it works really, really well. Also congee. Congee is supposed to have more of like a brothier, starchier base to it. Slow cookers are great for that because not only does it help to get that consistency, but you can put it in the crock pot overnight and you have a nice warm breakfast the next morning, again, without a lot of effort. Are you over 35 years old and starting to feel like something is shifting in your body? Maybe you've reached 40 and you're starting to look at your period and go, what is going on here? This isn't like it always was. Or maybe you're starting to feel a little bit of the hormonal weight gain, the emotional roller coaster, and so much more. These are all things that you'll see in the perimenopausal period. And we don't talk nearly enough about what's happening during perimenopause. Join me on April 17th. From 6 to 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for coming into second spring. What is second spring? This is when we go through our perimenopausal and menopausal journey, and I want to make sure that you can address any of the negative symptoms as you're going through this phase and teach you what's actually going on inside of your body. The link to register is in the show notes. Join me on April 17th at 6 o'clock. There will be a recording circulated afterwards because this period of our life, we should thrive and not merely survive. And now back to the show.
So I tend to use these kinds of cooking devices based on what I want the outcome to be. So if it's something that needs to be not brothy, an Instant Pot might be a really great option. I'll use Instant Pot to bake sweet potatoes. I'll use it for some meals, but ones that aren't super like brothy in the bottom of them, I tend to use, or actually, I have an exception to that as I was saying that out loud. I do tend to do a lot of curries in my Instant Pot now that I say that. I tend to use my slow cooker for things like soups and chilies of different types. Because this way, I can utilize the time-saving benefits of both of these devices. So I'll set like a chili up in the crock pot and I'll set another meal up in the Instant Pot and I'll make one on the stove. That is my meal prep on like a Sunday, for example, so that as my family, because they're predominantly teenagers and going in a bunch of different directions between work and all of that type of stuff. This way they can heat and go. And I know that they're eating good stuff. And all of us have things to eat for the first half of the week without a ton of effort. And then as the week goes along, whatever, you know, I still have left over can be used for some lunches. Sometimes I'll repurpose a roast, for example, and I'll make another meal with it or what's left over from it. And then I really only have to cook on the stove like 2 days at the end of the week, which is really nice. And then I prepare my menu again, and then we're off to the races for the next week. So this style of meal prep can save you a lot of time. And you're also keeping a mind's eye towards what types of devices are going to enhance the performance of the food that you're eating in your body. So now we're going to apply this to your period. Okay. So during the bleeding days, the more things that are warm, brothy, and easy to digest, the better. So breakfast like oatmeal with berries and walnuts maybe would be a great breakfast. And then heating up one of these things that you've prepped ahead of time, a soup, a stew, maybe it is a chili. I made this fabulous black bean sweet potato chili with quinoa a few weeks ago. It was excellent. It had beans. It was a complete meal, but I made it in the crock pot and I just warmed it up. And I would have that for lunch or I would have it for dinner, depending on whether I was coming going from teaching or taking a kid to an activity, for example. So something like that, it's warm, it's easy to digest. That would be fabulous for your period. soups and stews. I cannot sing the praises of bone broth enough because, you know, and as I say this, a few people are probably going, ugh, but I'm a meat freer. Well, part of being a meat freer does affect the way that your period shows up. It doesn't take a lot of animal products in order to improve the quality of your period, but they do have to be there because there are certain amino acid chains that you can only get from animal products. And those ones are really critical to the building of blood and the support of your circulation overall. So maybe you're doing a vegetable soup, but you use a bone broth base. That's a super easy way, as somebody who does not like to eat meat, to get those amino acid chains into your body. Maybe it's something like putting a scoop of collagen in your coffee in the morning. The unflavored stuff, it'll mix right in when you stir your creamer into the coffee. You won't even know that it's there. But if you can include even a couple days a week, something that has these amino acid chains in it. And yes, I've had vegans argue with me. And again, I'm not saying that people who are plant-based are combative. I don't want it to seem that way because it's not. I understand their vantage point and their viewpoint and why they're choosing to make those choices. I have a hard time with certain animal products. So it's not that I'm not compassionate and I don't understand. I just understand the way that the body works. And when you're having period challenges, a lot of times it does arise from what you're eating and your lifestyle. So having a few, it doesn't have to be a lot, of animal products integrated into your diet is really important. So I eat predominantly plant-based. Okay. So this isn't like I don't understand, and it isn't like I don't see and value and place emphasis on the advantages of a plant-based diet. However, while you're in your bleeding years, your body does require certain types of amino acids in order for your bleed to happen without symptoms. And for some of my clients, they choose to bring like a desiccated beef liver capsule into it. And that's the only thing that they include. And that's fine. For some people, it's bone broth. They can't tell that it's an animal product. They put it into the base of their soup or they cook their congee in it and they call it a day. Something simple like that helps you to get these things into your body without needing to confront all of the reasons, whatever those are, for not wanting to have animal products in your life. It does make a huge difference. Large clots, stabbing pain, all of those things indicate that you need to have some of these building blocks in your body in order for your body to operate at its best. So bone broth for me, this is one of the reasons why I really love it, is the fact that it checks so many of these boxes. It's really easy to digest during your period. It gives you all of the building blocks you need to make the blood that you need for your bleed, which in turn also supports your circulation. It helps you come back stronger and healthier and with more energy after your period. So you don't have as many days after your period where you feel like you're recovering and waiting for your energy to come back. When you're blood deficient, that's a Chinese medicine term, you tend to have lower energy, lower stamina. You have to push yourself and will yourself through your workouts in a completely different way than when you have some of these tools in your arsenal and you can get them without a lot of effort. Your body likes things that are warmer for digestion. It makes it so much easier for the body to break it apart and use it. So the body has to warm things up to break them down. So if it's already being served warm to your system, or if you have something room temperature or slightly cooler and you follow something like tea, you're putting chi or vital energy that your stomach needs for this digestive process. You're going to find that not only will your digestion be better during your period eating this way, but incorporating some of these behaviors into the rest of your month, you're going to have less bloating overall. You're going to have less digestive discomfort. You're going to feel stronger and have more energy because your body is going to be more successful at utilizing the food that you're putting into your belly than if it has to work really hard to make it happen. The harder the body has to work to do its basic day-to-day stuff, the more tired we feel, the more susceptible we are to disease, and the more problems we have with our period. Period cramps, larger period clots can be supported by ease in your digestion. Make sure to join us next week as we take a look at rule of the road number 3. Thank you for joining me for another episode of Reproductive Rebel. Reproductive Rebel is recorded by certified peristeam hydrotherapist and acutonics practitioner, herbalist, and Chinese nutritional therapist, Adrian Irizarry of Moon Essence LLC. If you are interested in setting up an appointment for one-on-one support, ordering from our store, or checking out our course offerings, visit our website at moonessence.life. Be sure to subscribe to our newsletter and get insider information on upcoming events and offerings. Join the conversation. Like and follow us at Moon Essence Me on Instagram, Facebook, or LinkedIn. Your voices make this program possible. Thank you all for your continued support.